I forgot to pray for the speaker, and so I want to do that right now. You can remain seated, but I'm sorry. I totally spaced it. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Luke Itgeam and his ministry at the prison and also his chaplainship that has reached hearts and minds. And also, Lord, we just pray that you will continue to be with him. Bless his sermon today. And our hearts and minds, may we be open to receive truth that only you can give us. In Jesus' name, amen. One more note of thanks. I'm just enjoying so much these Christmas decorations, and those people that did the decorating, thank you so much. It's just a joyful season, and to see the reds and the whites and just to be alive during this season is just a wonderful thing. So thank you so much.
I'm reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. The Pharisees, also with the Sadducees, came and tempting desired him that he would shew them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say, It will be fair weather tomorrow, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites! You can discern the face of the sky, but can ye discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas, and he left them and departed.
It's hard to see you with those lights hitting me, but I guess you're out there. It's not often I get to tell the children a story and preach at the same time. And the hard part was, what story? How Grandma killed the poisonous snakes, how the young daughter of a chief of the cannibal tribe became a nurse and went back and brought them all to Jesus. And suddenly this dog story popped in, and I said, thank you, Jesus, and that was it. The verse in John 16, where Jesus more or less knew that the scribes and the Pharisees had united against him. They hated each other. But they hated Christ more because they didn't want a Messiah that was the Lamb of God. They wanted a Messiah that was the Lion from the tribe of Judah. They didn't want to love their enemies. They wanted to make slaves out of the Romans. They rejected Christ because he wasn't the Messiah they wanted. Well, that happens often in life. The South didn't like Abraham Lincoln. And that's how he got to be president. Right now, a lot of people don't like Trump. He got to be president. So being president isn't always having everybody love you. But he warned them that while they could see the sun and figure out what the weather is, he said, let's see, I want that verse right here. Yeah, hypocrites, you discern the face of the sky, which is nice, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? Plural. Many signs will indicate different times. So I looked that verse up in the book that has the scriptures that Ellen G. White used. And to my surprise, that verse is only in two of her writings. One of my most favorite books, Desire of Ages. And I've got some of what she said there in the little handout that will be at the end. If I gave it to you at the beginning, you'd be reading it. And I think you should listen. But they wanted signs from heaven, not just healing the sick or forgiving somebody their sin. They wanted heavenly signs. And in Desire of Ages, they wanted a sign like Joshua was winning the battle, but the sun was going to set, and he asked God, stop the sun. That's the kind of sign they wanted. And she goes on to say that there will be miracles, but the greatest miracles in the last days are not going to be signs that the devil can bring fire down out of heaven. There'll be very simple things like a sinner being converted. That's a greater miracle. Well, they weren't interested in that either. So God has always sent a warning. Before the flood, there was something of a sign. Noah worked 120 years to build an ark. Now, on television, they've got this guy that made what he thought the ark was, the same size and everything, and people are visiting it, and inside it's a museum, all made out of wood, and he used very simple tools. Hard work. But just before the flood, the other sign was animals walking two by two, heading for the ark. Just picture a couple lions, male and female, right behind a couple sheep, bucking a ewe. Orderly. Well, the angels were bringing them to the ark, but they just didn't accept the signs. They wanted signs from heaven, and he said, the only sign you're going to get is Jonah. And as Jonah spent some time inside a giant fish or a whale, I will be in the grave the same length of time. That's the only sign that you will be getting. So in the last days, there will be signs warning us that the end is near. In Matthew 24, Jesus had some signs to warn the people. And one of the signs in Matthew 24, I'll have to turn over that, he said, beware of false Christs, plural. Many people, many men saying, I'm the Messiah. And they would get followers and they would attack Rome. And of course, Rome just wiped them out. Oh, that was a false Messiah. So the next guy would say, well, the false Messiah, he didn't know. No, no, no. You follow me out of the desert, and we're going to get up on the Mount of Olives, and we're going to pray, and the walls of Jerusalem will fall down, and we outnumber the Romans, and we'll conquer. Oh, that was a good sign. And they got up on the mountain, and the Roman army could see them. And the Romans were outnumbered, and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed, and the walls didn't come down. So the Roman says, well, if they won't come down and fight us, we'll go up and fight them. And they did, and they wiped them out practically. False Christs, Jerusalem conquered by Rome. Well, in the last days, there will be false Christ also. So several times Jesus warns about false Christ, but mainly false prophets, not as often. But anyone claiming to be Christ, well, and working miracles, and there will be miracles. We can't trust miracles in the last days. But the one false Christ that's going to really be hard will be Satan impersonating Christ. And that's in great controversy, so I also slip that in, for he will come, and the picture he will use to appear like is Jesus described in Revelation chapter 1. So he's already got scripture. Here's Christ, here I am, there's the Bible. That's my description. We don't have an ancient statue or an ancient piece of money with the image of Jesus on it. So artists, they can paint all sorts of things. And one of the famous paintings, I forget the guy's name, but it looked like Jesus, the carpenter's son, just came out of the beauty parlor. Not one hair out of place. The beard trimmed. Well, I didn't like that one. I wanted a picture of Jesus. We had a lady that painted, and I didn't want that, so I found one by Hook. And boy, Jesus looked like a hardworking guy. I mean, it was, and that's the one I used up at the park. He was a carpenter's son, and a carpenter, and he looked more like a man. And then it goes on to say in great controversy that he will speak in a way softly, kindly, that Jesus spoke. Because he was there when Christ gave the Sermon on the Mount, so he knows, and he will quote Jesus. He will take some of Christ's words and use them. And I'm sure he's going to use Mark 2:27. The Sabbath was made for man, not man made for the Sabbath. And I am Lord of the Sabbath. And so since I'm Lord of the Sabbath, I can change it from the seventh day to the first day, honoring my resurrection. He's going to be clever. Besides, he will work miracles, and he will also condemn those that don't accept him as Jesus. You're like the Jews. They said I was the devil, that I broke God's law. Jesus said, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. He's given us that definition. They would help an animal out of a mud hole on the Sabbath day, but if a man fell in it, they wouldn't help him out. They had their own rules. They made the Sabbath, you could only walk so far. You could what was the burden? One egg. You walk to the hen house, you get one egg, but you got to get seven for the whole family, and you got to count your steps, because if there are too many, you can't go to church. When you get to the last step, a Sabbath journey, you got to stop until the sun goes down. And the Pharisees were sure that when they stopped, it was at crossroads in Jerusalem, so a lot of people could see him standing there and praying because the sun hadn't set. They wanted the prayer. So we do have signs that are coming that should warn us that Christ's second coming, we don't know the day and the hour, that's true, but we do know what Jesus said, and we got to understand that, because the devil does everything on this earth. Jesus said, if they say I'm out in the desert, don't go. I'm in the secret place in the city, don't go. He'll be on television. Don't turn on the television. Oh, radio. Don't turn on the radio. He's going to be very, very good. And when he finally condemns those that won't keep Sunday and won't work on the Sabbath, he will say, and I sent my angels to them, and they wouldn't even listen to the angels. Can you imagine being in jail or up on the hilltops hiding, and an angel says, that's really Jesus. I'm going to bring you. He resurrected your wife and children killed in the airplane crash. He'll bring them in. They're just evil angels. And you're looking at them. Oh, Daddy, it's really Jesus. We meet Jesus up in the air. We have to know that. He can't impersonate the manner of Christ's coming, but he can impersonate Christ. And in one of the descriptions, he will raise his hands to prove he's Christ. And what will we have to see? The scars of the cross. I've heard people, he can't come with scars on his hand. He's going to raise his hand. And that's a miracle. Yeah, well, miracle or what the scriptures say. But there are some words of Christ that too often we overlook because we're more interested in where Jesus said, there will be rumors of wars. Then there will be wars, kingdom against kingdom, nation against nation. And when World War I broke out, that was going to be the Battle of Armageddon. And our church at that time, I was attending Pacific Union College, were split over Armageddon. Those that went along with Uriah Smith, it's the Muslims against the Christians, the kings of the East Arabia and all of that area coming against the Christians in Russia and Europe. That was the Battle of Armageddon. The others that went along with James White, the kings of the East, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all the holy angels coming to end the war with Satan. And I mean, you'd hear this, to go back and forth. World War I came, and one of my teachers, an Englishman, Professor Hyde, was in college, and they said, it's the end. They sent him to Africa to preach the gospel because World War I was going to be the end because the Turks were fighting Russia. That was a Christian country. But the Turks were on the side of the Germans. And that's the Lutherans and the Catholics. That was a Christian country. why would the Turks and the Germans unite against Russia and England and France and Italy? Because the Germans were going to build the railroad from Berlin to Baghdad, and they could use trains on land that the British Navy couldn't stop in peacetime, and they would be where the oil was, and they would rule. And England didn't want that, but they couldn't stop them building that railroad. So if you have the Turks on the sides of one Christian fighting another, it just doesn't make sense. Now we have World War II, and things happened, and now we're in our longest war in Afghanistan, where Muslims are killing Muslims, and that doesn't make sense either. But there are signs that God gives, and I want to go over the ones that Jesus said what it would be like before I come. And this is in Matthew 24, 37 to 39. He gives a lot of signs and things that are going to happen. Matthew 24, 37, and he says, "But as it was in the days of Noah." Now you got to go back before the flood. Well, maybe during the building of the Tower of Babel, days of Noah. "So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." That's the event. There were signs for his first coming, the star in the sky and the virgin, and even the date, the 490 weeks, the 70-week prophecy nailed the time. "For as it was in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking." Well, that's not very surprising. You eat and drink every day. How can eating and drinking be a sign that Christ is coming? Well, I suppose what you're eating and drinking, that might work in. "Marrying and giving in marriage." Well, that's a little more exciting. "Until that Noah entered the ark." Even the animal and the flood came. So eating and drinking and marrying were signs. Now at that time, marriage became, you could have many wives. That started back before the flood, and that didn't help matters too much. Luke also quotes Christ about what it will be like in chapter 17, but he adds a few things besides eating and drinking. So in Matthew 17, I'm looking at verse 28. "Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot." Well, that's before one city. Well, Sodom and Gomorrah, those cities were wiped out. God never brings judgments upon people, a country, a nation, until they first get warnings, so that the righteous can believe and get out of there. The devil can create earthquakes. It kills everybody. That's not God's work. When the devil works, he's after the good people. He's already got the bad people. He doesn't have to worry about that. In the days of Lot, they did eat and drink. Okay, we've done that. They bought and sold. Oh, that's business, buying and selling. They planted and builded. Well, these are just common things that are happening all the time. But Christ said they are signs. what is not said is important. It doesn't say they were fighting wars. That came earlier. And it said this was the beginning of sorrow. So here we have described something that's ordinarily peaceful, but the world has never been that way. There's always been some fighting going on, but when you've got war, it's not a time to build, it's not a time to get married, it's all of that. It's got to be more of a peaceful. And Satan, to prove he is Christ, will have a period of peace and safety and prosperity. And that's what everybody wants. No more war. Get rid of all of the weapons. Just have a peace. That's in Isaiah and in Micah. They will come to Jerusalem and turn their swords into plows to plant and build. It's a time of peace. It'll be the greatest miracle that the devil pulls off, except trying to be Christ. He will set up his kingdom in Jerusalem, and nations will come. And it'll be peaceful. And then Paul warns us in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 2 and 7, that during a time supposedly of peace and safety, and you can't say peace and safety if they're dropping bombs on you, if they're killing people, that's not peace and safety. But in 1 Thessalonians, and it's talking about the end. It's located, Jesus said, just before I come, there's going to be that period. And a lot of people will say, boy, this is great. This is great. Look what he's doing. This proves he is the Messiah. But the verse that he said to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world, it's got to be burned in our memories. Christ's kingdom will not be set up on the old earth. It'll be set up on the new earth. But we have to know those verses. And not the miracles that look so good and everybody is falling for. 1 Thessalonians 5, he starts off, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. The times and the seasons. For yourselves know perfectly. If you know it perfectly, you got the whole message. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. It's going to shock the world. He is already here, they say. They accepted Satan as Christ. They're not looking for the second coming. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden what? Destruction. Finally, Lucifer will have to pass a death decree if that little group that won't worship me on Sunday and they won't work on the Sabbath and they call me the devil, and on, a date will be set. And it's going to be very similar to what book in the Bible that went through the same thing. Esther. He got a date that the people, not the army, not the navy, not police, the people on that day could kill Jews and take their property. But Esther and Mordecai made a little change to it. They couldn't stop it. The king couldn't stop it. They told the Jews, you can fight back, and they were trained and given weapons by the Persian army, and so the Jews weren't wiped out. Well, in our time, we don't need weapons and armor. The angels will protect us from that death decree. And when does it start? At midnight. Oh, no, the day starts at sunrise or sunset. No, no, at midnight. The Romans brought that in. It was just good business. No one's buying and selling at midnight, so your records would be easier. At midnight, they will attack wherever. If we're in prison, isolated, it doesn't matter where we're at. They will know where we're at. They will come, and the voice of God will give the day and the hour of his coming, and the angels stop them. Amen. And the Lord comes. So if we take time to read and know what Jesus said, we won't have trouble, because eventually Lucifer, doing miracles, disarming the world, bringing in peace and safety, he has to change God's law. The only commandment he can work is the fourth. Don't make idols. Who wants to make idols? Well, don't kill anybody. Well, how can you argue with that? If he can change one commandment, he's changed them all. The law is hooked together. We're not saved because we keep the Sabbath. We're not saved by obeying the law. We keep it because we're saved, and we want to thank the Lord. And he says, if you love me, keep my commandment. You can't keep the law unless you're saved. Saved first, and then obeying God second with a good heart. And that's kind of in the outline here. And I just want to say that there is so much work to be done. It wasn't done in Ellen White's time because many Adventists didn't believe in the Trinity, so they didn't need the Holy Spirit. And they talked too much about the law. The first angel's message, everlasting gospel. Once they are saved, they will happily obey God. Amen. And then comes the hour of the judgment, yeah? And then comes the seal of God, yeah? All of that came, but I didn't put it in here, but she said, when they talked to Adventists, all they heard was law, law, law. They better hear Jesus, 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 and get the new heart, and then they can keep law, law, law. So we're not going to make that same mistake. We're stressing now we have to have the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't take the gospel to all the world. And they obey because they're saved and they love Jesus. It's just as simple as that. But the devil, he can twist it up, because he'll never stop pointing out our sin. Oh, you got to stop that. And he'll never stop saying, well, you got to do this, this, and this. Good works, Jesus said, Sermon on the Mount, let your light so shine, Matthew 5:16, that people will see your good works and give glory to God, not to you. And those good works came because the Holy Spirit helped you. We're born of the Spirit, new heart, and we love one another. Our closing hymn is on the Trinity. I was raised Catholic. I've always believed the Trinity. Fortunately, they changed it because Uriah Smith, when he wrote Daniel and Revelation, he didn't believe. If I had read that book, I'd have thrown it in the garbage. God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. And all of them work together in our salvation, born of the Spirit. God the Father, Romans 12:2, gives every person a measure of faith. It's not even, we don't even have faith. It's accepting the faith, and the Holy Spirit gives us faith, and Jesus does. He said, I tell you before, and when it happens, then you'll believe me. And we can be grateful that faith increases, and hope increases, and joy and love increases for eternity. So we'll sing our closing hymn now, and we'll be finished. Thank you.
Please stand.
For allowing us to be your children and to call you Father. And we thank you for your Son who died willingly to save the world and for your Holy Spirit. Help us to give more of our time to spreading the gospel wherever we can, and help us to prepare that when your Son comes, we will know it's Jesus. But when Satan comes, we will know it's Lucifer. And again, you have people all over the world that are working, and you have angels that are working, and may your Son come soon. We need him, and we ask it in his name. Amen.